And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Pastors and churches gone wrong. In fact, they've just gone wild. You know, ever so often we have a volume in which we present to you examples, and gross examples they are, of pastors, churches, evangelists, the official church establishment gone wild. Gone wild. Berserk. And I don't mind at all presenting these to you. But they do point out a couple of things. First of all, 2 Thessalonians tells us there will be a strong falling away in the last days, right before Christ comes again. And we see that falling away today. We're also told Jesus himself said that would the Son of Man even find faith on planet Earth? That's a rhetorical question, of course, but it's something that we need to ponder about. If these things are going on in churches and in the religious establishment, then what chance do we have elsewhere? Although it does say in the Bible that judgment begins in the house of God. Judgment begins in the house of God. And we know from, for example, Ezekiel chapter 8, that even as the people of Israel would go to their, you know, to their temple and go through the various rituals and so forth, what they didn't know was there was a back room where the council of Zion, the leaders of Zion, these high flight rabbis and high priests would go, and they would perform rituals and ceremonies that the people didn't even know anything about. Likewise, today we have the Talmud, which most Jews participate in. That's bad enough. But then we have the Kabbalah on top of it, where they actually worship the holy serpent. And we're not talking about a few. We're talking about a whole nation of Jews. Many, many who worship the serpent, Leviathan. Now, I want to talk to you about these things because we need to keep ourselves away from these horrible things. If you're in one of these churches, if you get involved in this kind of evil, I promise you, if you stay in it, it will taint you. It will take over your conscience, your heart, and leave you with a seared soul. First of all, I want to bring some good news to you. The Children's Home of Texas here sent us a nice letter from Brenham, Texas. This is from J. Alex Hamilton, the executive director. Says, Dear Mr. Mars, during the season of giving, we are mindful of offering our gratitude for the gifts God provides us every day. At Miracle Form, now this is, you know, they have a girl's part and a boy's part and, you know, all this out at the children's home. At Miracle Form, we're always grateful for people like you and your radio listeners that do special things to support our ministry. Your generous donation to our boys and house parents was incredibly thoughtful. These gifts serve as a tremendous witness how God uses his servants to show love and support for our children and for our ministry staff. We greatly appreciate your continuing kindness in providing this type of support for our ministry. And he goes on to say he thanks us and appreciates us. Now, this is the boys section, but we've already received, and I've got a big stack of thank you cards and such from the children, especially the young girls out there, and I really appreciate them. What we do is we have a continuing program. And if you want to give to that, well, of course, you may do so. Just send your money to the children's home. To the children's home or to TexMars. Now, you've got to make out your checks to TexMars or Power of Prophecy. But in the little four section there, write down, you know, children's home. And make sure you designate it for that. Okay? We'll be glad to send your love gift on to them. And it will get credit here at this ministry. Now, we don't take out anything. Everything you send goes direct to the children's home. We're a conduit for it. And so, you know, we make sure they do their job. And boy, they do. They do a wonderful job at the Texas Children's Home. Hey, they don't get support from the government. They get support only from churches and from individuals like you and I. And Juan and I have been very pleased to give to this ministry for, oh, so many years. And if you want to give, please do so. Now, received a letter from George Young from Indiana. He said, "Dear Tex, thanks for your great CD, Aquarius Rising, where you point out the occult significance of the 9/11 attacks in New York, Washington, D.C., and Pennsylvania. You show that Satan has historically mounted attack after attack against the world, but has never succeeded because God always has his faithful remnant on hand to oppose him, as in the time of Elijah." Well, good. He goes on to say some other things, but he says, "Pray that God will especially bless Power of Prophecy." Thank you, George, for that. We get so many letters like this, friends. We've just been flooded with them. And I want to tell you, I read every one of them. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart for all of your kindnesses and your understanding. Now, let's talk a little bit about pastors and churches gone wild. I want to start with none other than Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck, you know, he had a big Restoring Love event at Cowboy Stadium. Filled up the stadium. It's amazing how many people will come to hear a guy with no credentials. I don't even know that he's got a college degree. He's a Mormon talking about restoring love. What is restoring love? Now, Glenn Beck is a Mormon. And he talked there about God, and we've got to return to God and all these kind of things. But he doesn't understand God at all. No Mormon can understand God. Let me read to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 6. "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of God. As God said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters." You see, he ends by saying, "I will be a father unto you, and you'll be my sons and daughters." This is a commitment from God. He's telling you how to get on board, how to become his children. And one of the ways you do it is not to have spiritual fellowship with unbelievers. Now, all these tens of thousands of Christians who went to see Glenn Beck were having a fellowship with an unbeliever. They were working with an infidel. And he was talking about restoring love. Well, America's just growing worse and worse. You can't restore love. Now, keep in mind, Mormon doctrine is 100% inconsistent with biblical Christianity. First of all, it doesn't advocate a real God. Jesus is only one of maybe millions of gods. They believe that all of us were in spiritual form before we were ever born, and we were in some kind of a spirit world and some kind of existence. They basically believe in reincarnation. They also believe that no one will go to hell. They don't even believe in a hell. Mormons don't. And they teach that Jesus was only a man. Anyone who teaches you that Jesus was only a man, put away, throw out of your life. Why did you take the time, Christian believer, to go to his restoring love fellowship? What's that all about? Well, unfortunately, a lot of them believe. Here's some of the names. Rabbi Zacharias, Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son. He's now head of the Billy Graham Ministries. David Jeremiah. Oh, my goodness. Let me read you some of these names. James Robeson. Well, I could expect him. David Jeremiah, Tony Evans, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, John Hagee, Ken Hutcherson, Richard Land of the Southern Baptists, Bishop Harry Jackson, Jim Garlow, David Barton of Wall Builders, Rick Scarborough, Tony Perkins, Ralph Reed, along with several high-profile Roman Catholic priests, Jewish rabbis, and Muslim imams. Now remember what God said. Don't yoke yourself. That means don't join yourself to unbelievers. There they were with Roman Catholic priests, Jewish rabbis, Muslim imams. These people have no faith at all. Come on. Well, we go from there to the Norwegian newspaper, Dagbladet. That's Dagbladet. A quote from a leading preschool educator, supported by a leading child psychologist. This kind of stuff, I hate to even mention it. He says that what we need is that children must be able to look at each other and examine each other's bodies. They can play doctor, play mother and father, dance naked, and masturbate. Friends, Jesus Christ said, you are the light of the world, and you would allow your children to do this? Well, I know you wouldn't, friends. But others see no problem with this. I mean, in Maine, at a middle school, they're dispensing birth control pills to children. That's grades 3 to 6, middle school. In California, Governor Jerry Brown recently had a law passed which says, which forbids pastors and social counselors and so forth to even attempt to cure a person's homosexuality. And in fact, in California schools today, you can't even use terms like mom and dad, or husband and wife. This is a big, you know, gift to gays. Well, meanwhile, Matt T, I'm not going to tell you his last name, but Matt T wrote to me, and he's a wonderful Christian man who puts out a newsletter on the tribulation. And he goes to a local church, and he says, the problem is the pastor seems to be enamored with the Jewish star, the pentagram. Now, the pentagram is a five-pointed star. Now, the pastor put it on the floor of a church building so that everybody would have to walk across this pentagram. And Matt was upset about it, and well, he should be. Well, here's a recent story from the newspaper. This is the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, but it's probably in your local newspaper as well. The father and son were alone in the house when police arrived, a freshly carved pentagram covering the boy's back. Blood, apparently from the child's wounds, had been smeared on the sides and the top of the home's door frame. Richland Hills police say the father, Brent Martell, 39, wounded his 6-year-old son. Then he calmly called 911 and told a dispatcher, quote, "I just shed some innocent blood." When the dispatcher asked why, Bartell replied, "It's a holy day. It's a holy day." There inside the house was the poor little boy, without a shirt, wearing pajama pants, and a large pentagram carved into his back, which covered the majority of his back. Friends, I'll tell you what this guy was doing. He was receiving directions direct from the devil, and he used a box cutter to carve out a pentagram, a 5-pointed star, used by all Satanists. If you want to know about it, get my book. Oh, let's see. Codex Magica has it in it, of course. Then there's, what else? Dark Secrets of the New Age. By the way, we just got Newsweek in a few weeks ago. Every year, they have a cover about the same. This one shows a manger scene of Jesus and Mary and Joseph. And on the front, it says, "Who Was Jesus?" by Bart Ehrman. And that appears to be a Jewish name. Who was Jesus? Newsweek always seems to be questioning Jesus. Newsweek, who was Jesus? You know, when I get these, I just throw them out. I haven't even read the article. It's the same old junk, and it just questions Jesus. Well, a Houston pastor, is asking church members to get tattoos for Lent. Now, even though the Old Testament says we are to have no cuttings of any kind in the body, I mean, people are going crazy for tattoos today, and they're big in churches. Well, in Montrose, the Montrose area of Houston, which is a big homosexual area, a large congregation there is getting permanent tattoos as a part of their Lenten observances. The name of the church is Ecclesia. Pastor's name is Chris Say. He's big in the emerging church movement. It's sort of an artsy pop culture thing. He says being in Montrose, which is considered basically the artist capital of Houston, it makes sense to represent the story of Jesus visually. Well, now, Pastor Say says the cross is finished. You know, the cross is nothing, even though the Bible says that the cross is very important. No, it's not, he says this Houston pastor. He says it's a sign of failure. And they have other symbols they want to use today. Boy, this is a fascinating, creative, and provocative project. Well, what can I say? By the way, it has a picture here. I wish I could show it to you. I wish I could show it to you on, you know, on this radio show, but I just can't get it. But you know, it's understandable why these people do this. They don't believe in the Bible. If you believed in the Bible, there's hundreds of messages to bring forth. I mean, I could never, ever, ever give you all of the messages, all of the important statements in the Bible. I don't have enough time in the day. But instead of these things, they despise the Bible, these people. They first tried to change it. You know, give us all of these false versions. And now they're going to just making up stuff. Well, evidently they're really doing it in the Air Force. You know, I was an Air Force man. None of these things were coming up at the time, but 66 members of Congress sent Defense Secretary Panetta a letter. They said, "We request you investigate what may have led up to this series of incidents and issue clear Department of Defense policy guidance consistent with our Constitution," which a guy named Seidman, a Jew, recently wrote an article, by the way, in the New York Times, which says we need to just do away with our Constitution. Well, we still have it, but Leon Panetta, the Secretary of Defense, hasn't answered this at all. He's being replaced now by someone, we don't know who yet. So they list a number of items that have recently occurred in the Air Force that seek to remove all references to God and faith. First of all, they had to suspend an ethics briefing for nuclear missile officers because it discussed St. Augustine's just war theory. They removed a Latin reference to God from the Rapid Capabilities Office motto, removed an article from a squadron officer school curriculum because it referenced going to church, removed Bibles from the Air Force N checklist. You know, they don't have to have Bibles anymore in most motels. Now they're taking them out of the Air Force Inn. And there's others too as well. Well, the current, we don't really know how the current chief of staff of the military, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, feels about this. But I do know in 2010, Admiral Mike Mullen, chairman at that time of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, I know what he thinks. Evidently, he was giving a briefing at the time about the Obama administration, his decision to kick out the don't ask, don't tell nonsense. Now, a chaplain asked General Mullen if those with biblical views, that homosexuality is a sin would still be protected if they expressed those views. If a chaplain simply said, "Well, I believe the Bible forbids homosexuality." And it does, folks. It does. Admiral Mullen got very testy, very heated. He said, quote, "Chaplain, if you cannot get in line with this policy, resign your commission." Do you get that, folks? He's telling the chaplains, if you can't get in line with approving homosexuality, then get out of the Air Force, resign your commission. Well, you know what? I think they should. I think every chaplain should leave the military service. You say, Tex, but that would leave no one. They would be making a statement. Now, here's the reason they won't get out. Most of them are headed for retirement. And they're officers. They've been given all these privileges as officers, as chaplains. Why should they get out? They're colonels, they're majors, they're lieutenant colonels. They're enjoying the good life as officers. They go to the officers club, they go to the teas and all this. Their wives go to the officers' wives meetings. They don't want to leave the service. So if a person comes in and says, "Chaplain, for example, I'm afraid I might be homosexual. What should I do?" What are you going to tell them? What are you going to tell them? If you're in line with the Air Force's policy or the Marines or the Navy or whatever, You're going to have to say, well, go ahead and do what you're doing. Be a homosexual. Folks, then we wonder why Petraeus had sex with a woman under a desk? Goodness gracious here. Now, Bible-believing military chaplains, they can't live with this kind of policy. They've got, first of all, they can't preach it at all. Now, I'll tell you what's happening. Homosexuals are attending every chapel meeting, and they're looking. They're bringing tape recorders with them. They're looking for chaplains they can get rid of. They're going to counseling sessions, and they're making up pretexts. Well, chaplain, I wanted to come to see you because I'm afraid I'm a homosexual or blah, blah, blah. They're looking to get rid of these chaplains. So remember these chaplains in your prayers, because I know that at least some of them are going to stand firm for Christ. And we've got to protect these people. Now, wanted to tell you about a big church that's a member of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. Now, don't think just because it says Evangelical Lutheran Church in America that it's evangelical. That's just a silly word to most people. But according to the Duluth News Tribune in Minnesota, evidently there's a large ELCA church in the area. Now, listen to this. That refuses to allow military honors for a deceased veteran, even if the family has requested it. Now, here's the deal. When a military veteran dies, his or her family can request that they receive military honors, full military honors. You know, the guys come out, the honor guard, and they're wearing their nice uniforms, and they shoot the guns into the air as a memorial and all that. Well, John Marshall, the Duluth Honor Guard, says that this church says, no, we will not allow military funerals. We will have, the military can have nothing to do with them. So Marshall, here's what he wrote to the newspaper. Quote, the ELCA, that's the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, recognizes non-traditional marriages, that's gay marriages, and other non-traditional, that's gay, agendas demanding tolerance and respect. Where is the respect or tolerance for the very men and women who protect everyone's rights to believe and worship as they wish? Isn't that interesting? This church demands that gays get their rights, that we be tolerant of them. Where's the tolerance for those who simply say, my husband served, I would like to have a color guard or a military presence at the funeral? There is no tolerance for those people. None. That's why this church is hypocritical, and why it's being used as nothing more than a tool of Satan. Well, we're going to have a lot more for you when we return on the other side. This is, I guess it's volume 7 of Churches and Pastors Gone Wild. I'm Tex Mars. Stay with us, won't you? Hello, friends. You know, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star is the first book that contains eye-opening revelations and forbidden knowledge about Israel, the Jews, Zionism, and even the Rothschilds. Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. It's an encyclopedic type book, a huge book. You'll learn about the Jewish religion, about the Jewish faith, You'll learn the true facts about Israel, its history, how it was founded as a nation, what Israel has done to the Palestinians. You'll learn how they bamboozled president after president. And just amazing things. You'll learn the true history of the six-pointed star and how it symbolizes the number that we are told in Revelation chapter 13 is the number of the beast, 666. I want you to have your copy of Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. It's only $20, isn't it? $25. Okay, thank you, Jerry. Jerry's my protector there. I don't worry too much about money here. I'm just a preacher. So it's $25, and please send $5 for shipping and handling. It's a total of $30. It's well worth it. I promise you, when you get this book in, you'll say, how could they have offered this for $25? Well, we do so because we want to make sure that you have it. It's actually $30 in bookstores, but we offer it for $25 plus $5 shipping and handling. Now, it's not in a lot of bookstores, let me tell you. When people see the front cover and they see the six-pointed star and a serpent inside of it in the artwork, they go, wow, we better not offer that book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. If they were to go to chapter 1, 2, 3, 4 and see the many quotes of rabbis to prove that they indeed worship the holy serpent, well, that would just frighten the bedickens out of them. I don't know what the bedickens is, but it's bad something, I'll tell you. In any case, you need to get the book for yourself because it will enlighten you. For we are not ignorant of the devices of the evil one. That's what it says in the Bible. That's what Paul said. And you read this book and you will not be ignorant of their devices. Now, this has nothing to do with being anti-Semitic. It has to do with the truth. That's all. And I want you to know the truth. So I've gone out and done the research. I've been in this ministry now for, 26 years. I've never considered whether I would make $1 or $2 or $100. Money has been irrelevant to me. And we just put out the books and the videos and do the things that God demands that we do. And I'm happy. I am very, very happy over it. Some people say, well, boy, you won't ever get another book published in a bookstore again if you put out this book. Well, I say, praise God. I'm not worried about it. He's my salesman. He is going to get this book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, in the hands of every Christian that he wants it to be in the hands of. Isn't that amazing? I know that when I write a book, if I write the books God wants me to, they will get everywhere that he wants. It could be 10,000 copies or 30,000 or 50 or 100,000. That's the way it's always been around here. I just write them. I don't have to market them. We don't have a marketing expert. We don't have a sales department. We don't have a commissioned sales rep that goes around to bookstores. We just offer them. We just write them, and here they are. And we do sell quite a few books. I'll tell you that right now. We do sell quite a few books. Why? Because God wants them out there. And I have an opinion, by the way. The reason that this book is not a number one bestseller, it should be, but it's not, is because God doesn't want it out to everybody. Now, if you get a copy and you try to give it to a friend, they may look at the cover and see the title, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, and say, whoa, whoa, I don't want that book. I can't take reading that book. Why? Why would they be like this? I'll tell you why. They don't want to know the truth. They're frightened. They're scared. It has nothing to do with anti-Semitism. I love Jews as much as I do Gentiles. And as I've said many times in Galatians 3, it says that if you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord, then he has adopted you as his child, then you become the seed of Abraham. It doesn't matter what race, what ethnic group you are. In the book of Acts, it says, out of one blood, God made all the people on the face of the planet Earth. Out of one blood. I don't know how he did that, but he did it. I mean, don't you know you come from Adam and Eve? Well, I couldn't. I'm a Mexican. They're white. Well, you've seen pictures of them, but they're not real. I mean, they're not photographs. They're, you know, what people think they are, what they look like. I don't know what they look like. They could be anything. No, they must be white, or they must be Middle Eastern, so they must be brown. They must see there. You don't even know, do you? I don't know either. I mean, I can pick a place where I think the Garden of Eden was and say they came from here, so they must be ABC. But I don't know. So the fact is that if your heart is right with God, then you're his child. And you're one of the seed of Abraham. It is a spiritual thing. It is a matter of the spirit. I have black people that, you know, I'm sorry, but are part of this ministry. Some people may not like that. They say, well, I don't like it because you have black people part of your ministry. Well, you don't have to like it. God likes it. I like it. I wish more would come in. You say, well, do you agree with what's going on with the Obama administration? No, I don't agree with it at all. I didn't agree with the Bush administration either. So there you go. Bush, Clinton, you know, get them all in a room and they're all the same, aren't they? That's the way I feel about it. Well, in any case, conspiracy of the six-pointed star. $25 plus $5 shipping and handling. All right, $30. Send it to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. You can also go to our webpage, powerofprophecy.com. Powerofprophecy.com. Our phone number, 1-800-234-9673. Isn't that easy? 234-9673. And we return now to our regular show. Hey, we're looking at pastors and churches gone wild. They are. They've gone wild. Hey, did you hear about that new Hollywood movie? You know, the guy Paul Verhoeven, or Verhoeven, V-E-R-H-O-E-V-E-N, Paul Verhoeven, he's directed such films as RoboCop, Total Recall, Basic Instinct. That's a good movie. Is now working on a new movie about the life of Jesus. Well, don't get too excited, though, because the movie portrays Jesus' birth as the result of his mother Mary being raped by a Roman soldier. Hey, that's the Talmud. That's the Jewish Talmud line. His mother was raped by a Roman soldier. Well, I'm not sure they're going to come out with this movie. I think they come out with a lot of movies. They say they're going to, and then they don't. They just do it just to make fun of the Christians. Well, hey, here's somebody that makes fun of Christians. An ELCA. Boy, I'm really on this Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. They've got a pastor named Tim Brown. And he wrote an article for their newsletter recently in which he said, someone stole my God and put a Bible in its place. They stole my God and put a Bible in its place. He goes on to explain, you see, Brown said, I'm a Christian, a person of faith, but my hope is not in the scriptures. Ah, here the guy tries to separate God from his word. You can't do that, folks. Well, Brown says that his hope is not based on the Bible, but in a story contained in the Bible. Huh? Come again. He believes in the story, but he doesn't believe in the Bible.
Well,
And he says the Bible cannot be trusted, but the story can. Well, You know, it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed. God-breathed. God breathed it into reality. Wow. But then Brown says, no, that's not true. Oh, yes, it is. I guess that's part of the story that he doesn't believe. Well, whatever. Friends, everything we know about Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection, is based on the Bible's teachings. What part of that story does Pastor Brown not accept? He's created his own story from the Word of God. Well, don't use that, because the Scriptures are indeed called the Word of God in the Bible. Listen to this. Sanctify them in the truth. Your Word is truth. John 17, verse 17. Your Word is truth. Well, if it's truth, it's truth. Not some little story in it. Well, it's just amazing, isn't it? It's just amazing. Well, let's go to some more here. Hey, I got an article from a good friend from Canada. It tells me about a church in Winnipeg. And I love Winnipeg. I went up to Winnipeg and visited some years ago. And they invited me to come speak at Calvary Church. Historic Calvary Church. Downtown Winnipeg, Canada. Well, I went up there and I did speak, and, you know, I mentioned that it was ironic that I was speaking at Calvary Church, because Calvary was not in the Bible. And they all got at their Bibles. They all had NIVs and all that. And they looked. They couldn't find it. And I went on to explain that, no, you're not going to find it. It's not in those Bibles. It's in the King James Bible. That's where it talks about it, Calvary. The hill that was called Calvary, at a place called Golgotha. That means skull. Skull. That's what the King James says. That's why all these old hymns talk about Calvary. Well, what is Calvary? The new Christians today don't even know the word, because it's not found in their Bible. And I was trying to point out to them the difference between the new versions and the King James. I said, here, the very name of this historic church is Calvary, but you don't even have that word in your Bible. Well, they got quite confused there. One guy got really mad at me. I talked about Billy Graham. That Billy Graham, you know, now has people come down at invitation time, or he did at that time. He's a little old now. But he would have people come down and tell them, you know, if you're a Jew, go to your local synagogue. If you're a Catholic, go to your local Catholic church. Well, they don't know what they are. They're just becoming a Christian. This way, he would just supposed to get them off of his back. Just go, now that you've become a Christian, go to your local synagogue. Now, I want you to think about that. He had all these altar workers, and they were all set up to take the people that came forward. Hundreds, hundreds of them. They would take them into the back room and they would fill out a little form, and then they would look on their little chart and they would send them off to the church of their choice. What are you? Are you Presbyterian or Methodist or Jew or Catholic? Well, I'm a Jew. Okay, well, you'll go. Let me give you the address and phone number of a church to go to. Now, can you imagine what happens to the Christian, the new Christian Jew, when they go to a church? Think about it, folks. They go see their rabbi and they say, well, I just come from Billy Graham crusade, and the altar worker there sent me to you. The rabbi says, well, that's great. Well, forget about this Billy Graham nonsense. Jesus Christ, look at your Talmud. Let's find out about Jesus. Jesus, according to the Talmud, was a blasphemer. He was the son of a whore and worse. Jesus is in hell today, burning in a fiery vat of hot burning hot semen.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, yeah. What are you doing to that crazy Billy Graham thing? Now, they probably wouldn't do that. They'd say, oh, yes, Billy Graham. Well, that's nice. Well, let's just forget all this stuff. Let's just get you back into the your home church. And we don't really consider Jesus as being part of this. Now, you see, Billy Graham, every day on the Larry King show, he was asked what he thought about the Jews. He said he had many friends in Judaism. And every day, Billy Graham said, every day I contact my spiritual counselor, who is Rabbi Tannenbaum of New York City. Every day I contact him by phone, and he gives me a spiritual, inspirational word for that day. I want you to understand this, folks. I don't have anybody that I contact every day except my wife. I wake up, good morning, sweetheart. That's about it. That's all I do. Folks, Tex Mars does not contact a rabbi every day and say, well, have you got some spiritual advice for me today? For one thing, the rabbi wouldn't know anything. His advice is all based on the Jewish Talmud, not the Old Testament, not the Bible. And the Bible itself says the natural man, that's the unsaved, unregenerated person, does not know the things of God. How can this Rabbi Tannenbaum give Billy Graham advice when he doesn't even know Jesus Christ as Lord? It was a sick statement by Billy Graham. But I'm not doubting him. Let's say he's telling the truth. Surely he was. Rabbi Tannenbaum was listening. Was listening to the broadcast, no doubt. And Billy Graham says, my spiritual advisor is a Jewish rabbi. And I listen to him each and every day, 365 days a year. Wow. Well, anyway, back to Winnipeg. It seems that the Westminster United Church is a Gothic church. A holy, seems the words there is a little bit off, Gothic landmark. And listen to this. It says here that I have a picture of the church. It's quite an interesting church. Let's just call it that. The circular rose stained glass window over the main entrance, more than four meters, that's over 4.5 feet, in diameter, can be viewed from the balcony in the sanctuary. I'm going to quote, all the histories of the church record the same tantalizing fact. That the window, that's this rose stained glass window over the front doors, that the window has a small clear space positioned in the center so that the solstice sun on June the 22nd and December 22nd shines directly through it, falling on an open Bible on the communion table at exactly 11 a.m. At exactly 11 a.m., the sun's rays go through this clear piece of glass right at the middle of this. And the sun shines directly through it, and it falls on an open Bible on the communion table at exactly 11 a.m. Oh, all of these old Gothic churches and such, all of the great cathedrals of Britain and Europe, friends, were built to sacred archaeological angles. Get my book, Mysterious Monuments, and you will exactly understand. Hey, by the way, do you know David Barton? A lot of you have written me over the years. He's head of a group called Wall Builders, and he's big on the wonderful founding fathers. He says that the founding fathers were Masons, but that's okay because Freemasonry was different back then. Well, let's see if it was or not. By the way, he's written a book now. The title is The Question of Freemasonry and the Founding Fathers by David Barton. There's also another massive volume called George Washington's Sacred Fire. Now, let me read to you from the Prophetic Observer put out by Southwest Radio Church. They talk about George Washington being a Mason. They say he himself said he was not active and went only once or twice to the Masonic Lodge in the 30 years of his adult life. When he reached the age of 20, he was inducted as an entered apprentice Mason. And that's the highest he ever got. Entered apprentice Mason. They said, the question is, the real question is, did Washington's Masonic connection lead him to hold unbiblical views of God? And they conclude, no, of course not. No, no. Now here's what Lillibach wrote. He said, quote, in fact, the history of the Masonic order shows that it is Christianity's inherent power that Christianizes the Masonic order. What we are saying is that the evidence from Washington's day shows that the Masonic order was openly Christian and committed to Scripture. Oh, boy. Now, let's get to the proof of it. This guy's written a trash book, and David Barton believes in trash. Now, let me tell you why I believe this, why I know this for a fact. George Washington and the other founding fathers were members of the United Lodge. That's what they're talking about here, the United Lodge of Great Britain. In 1774, a new lodge came to America, the Scottish Rite. It was founded on totally different satanic principles. It came right out of the Knights Templar Church of France, and it went into Scotland, and it was an evil system, and it came to America. And many of the founding fathers met at the Green Dragon Inn. The Green Dragon Inn, get that name. And there they concocted up their tea party, where they dressed like Indians and went out and threw tea over the side, claimed they would not pay taxes on it. And from that moment on, practically all the Masons left the United Lodge and began to join the Scottish Rite Lodge. A man named Stephen Morin, M-O-R-I-N, had come to America from France to teach Americans about the Scottish Rite Lodge. George Washington left the United Lodge, and he joined the Scottish Rite. It was the Scottish Rite Lodge that wanted to break away from England and the United Lodge. We had a fight, that's all that went on, between two great lodges, the United Lodge of England and the Scottish Rite, the Satanic Lodge of the United States. And it is true that George Washington only went once or twice to the Masonic Lodge in the 30 years of his adult life. And he was inducted as an entered apprentice Mason. But he went on to become a higher Mason. Now, I have the book, 10,000 Famous Freemasons. It'll tell you about this. He was very high up. He was even invited to become the Master Mason of the whole United States. And when he died, our first president, George Washington, Mount Vernon, thank you. You can visit Mount Vernon today. And there at Mount Vernon, you will find his tomb, T-O-M-B. And what is his tomb? It is the Queen's House, the Queen of Egypt. On each side of it, as you walk into it, and it is the very, you know, it's where his body lays in state. And on each side of it, you will see a great obelisk, an Egyptian obelisk. You enter therein to the Queen's Palace, the Egyptian Queen's Palace. Because Solomon married the Queen of Egypt. And all of this is formulated by the Scottish Rite Freemasons. And you can find this whole thing explained to you in my incredible book, Mysterious Monuments. You'll actually see pictures of the two Egyptian obelisks and the Queen's Palace, where George Washington is buried to this day at Mount Vernon. And there you have it. David Barton knows nothing. And Peter Lillibach knows nothing about George Washington. That's just the way it is. Hey, another Christian who probably is a Mason is Chuck Missler. Now, Chuck Missler, from out on the West Coast, is a very interesting person. He's a member of this group called, here we go. Chuck Missler has written a number of books, one of which he had to take off the market because it turned out that he and Hal Lindsey had plagiarized it. But I have a picture of him here with a Leukidnik, meaning, you know, a really high-rated, hardcore Israeli named Avi Lipkin, the Jew. And Mr. Lipkin, also known as Victor Mordecai, as a former Israeli Defense Force soldier and now part of the Israeli Likud party, says that Missler has the kosher seal of approval. The kosher seal of approval. Well, it should be that way because Missler is nothing more than a Zionist, and he makes that. You can even look at the logo of his ministry, the Koinonia House. What is the logo? Well, you got the seven pointed, what do they call it? The candle, the candelabra. Thank you, of Israel. Then you have the six pointed star connected to a fish, which is part of Christianity, which is below the star. The fish is connected and is basically the tail of the six-pointed star. And above the six-pointed star is the seven candelabra. And then below that, or amongst it all, is the seals, or you might say the scrolls, actually, of the Torah. Well, there they are. There they go. By the way, the book I told you about Chuck Missler wrote with Hal Lindsey was called The Magog Factor. Turns out that Edward Yamuchi had written the book, and they just copied a great part of it, plagiarized it. He took him to court, and, they had to get the book off the bookstore racks as soon as they could. Well, got so much for you here. I wish I could continue about Christian singer Sandy Petty performing with a homosexual choir, the Turtle Creek Choral, the Turtle Creek Choral at the Meyerson Symphony Center in Dallas, Texas. She doesn't see anything wrong with that. She's also gone on a homosexual cruise. That's Sandy Petty. There's Brian McLaren, one of the emerging church figures. He recently performed his own son's homosexual marriage. And then finally, there's the Dalai Lama. And I have a picture of the Dalai Lama of Tibetan Buddhism watering a new tree, showing his love for trees. He says every living thing has the right to survive. But then we find out that he's pro-abortion. He's for killing of little babies in the womb. But he says everything, every living thing has the right to survive. Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. This is Tex Mar. It's been great being with you today. And my prayer, friends, is that you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.